session number 23370, Reel 2.
Bernard Cox, Reel 2. So how long did you stay at Cirencester altogether?
Must have been about 6 months, I suppose.
Right.
I went in the army in the July.
So it was sort of New Year, was it, that sort of time when you left?
Yeah, I think we must have gone up there 6 weeks after I joined the army. 6 weeks after that, it would have taken me into the end of August, wouldn't it?
Yes.
And then
that's the 8th month. So sort of then February,
Yes, I must have been there about 6 months.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because I was definitely there at the Christmas, which was a very cold winter.
Yes.
And
yeah.
We all came home for the Christmas, and we're told to stay home during the New Year because there was no fuel, and so all the troops were told to stay over at home to the New Year. So we went back after the New Year, second or something like that.
So did you do an exam before you finished, No,
I don't think so. Yeah. Not that I can remember. Mm. No, I don't think so.
So where were you all going? Did you all have any ideas where you would be going?
Well, I'd planned to get to the War Office, but it didn't work out that way. And I was actually kept in Cirencester for 6 weeks after I'd finished the course, waiting for what they call, I was in a holding company, H Company, waiting for what they call a special posting, which in my mind I was convinced I was going to be sent to the War Office. But in fact I got sent to London, I got sent back to London. And I was stationed at the Duke of York's headquarters in Chelsea, in King's Road. And I went up there as private secretary to General R.E. Urquhart, who was in command of Arnhem.
Right.
And they were forming the 16th Airborne Division Territorial Army. There was already the 1st Airborne Division, the 6th Airborne Division, regulars, and because the war was over, they were forming a territorial division, and it was going to be called the 16th. And they were it started at the Duke of York's headquarters. So this, I was sent up there as his private secretary, and it was all he was the general in command, and there were all the obviously brigade commanders there as well. So it was all senior officers, apart from about. Six of us who got sent up there as sort of clerks, and I was his secretary. And then, of course, we had his shirt driver and other two other personnel, but they remained the regular. Yeah. They were all regulars.
Right. So, a bit of a change of scene. What was the Duke of York's barracks like?
Very nice.
Mm. What does it look like?
Quite bare. Well, if you go along the King's Road, there's simply, I think there was just like a double iron gate going into it. It's quite in brick walls all the way along. And then, if I can remember correctly, we went in there, and then there was two sections, I think, just two straight sections of barracks with square in between them. And we had offices in there. Mm.
Yeah. So where were you living?
Well, we were billeted, if I can call it that. In Kensington Church Street. There's a barracks in Kensington Church Street, and I think at the time that was mainly the transport section in the London area. So it was the RASC, and we were in the RASC, but in the 16th Airborne Division. Mm-hmm. We were billeted there. They didn't really want us. We were a nuisance. And but because we were they were coming in and out regularly, we were permanently there, but we were just living in a basement really, but because we were there for some time and the others were sort of continually changing the rate, then they obviously the ATS girls and that got to know us, and so they used to give us a bit extra in the way of food. We were also in an airborne division, so that made a difference as well.
It was a bit more glamorous, was it?
Sort of, yeah. Red berries and all that.
Yeah. So it's General Urquhart.
Yes, it's Urquhart. Mm-hmm. And he was the general in command at Arnhem.
Yeah. So what sort of a chap was he? You must have been quite nervous to meet him for the first time.
Sort of, yes. But we only had one senior warrant officer there. We used to call him Pop Wilson. He was about the fourth senior warrant officer in the British Army. Mm-hmm. And then we had a Sergeant Burke. And then the rest of us were all privates then. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of officers there. They were all brigadiers, colonels, lieutenant colonels, captains, majors, and I used to work for him, and also for a couple of lieutenant colonels, and I was classed as his private secretary and confidential typist to the division headquarters, so anything confidential was done by me.
Mm. Right. So what was General Urquhart like?
Very nice.
Really? Also, was he a big chap?
Yes, big moustache. We have actually got a photograph of us, the whole division, that's the staff at the Div HQ. And yes, he was very nice, yeah.
How did if he went you?
Very well. Mm. Yeah, took an interest in your personal life. If he went on leave, I went on leave. Mm. And we worked a 5-day week. We had our weekends completely free. We had a permanent pass, as if we were sort of in uniform and you were picked up in the London area, you had a permanent pass to say you were, everything was okay.
Yeah.
And so I could come home every weekend if I wanted to. Mm.
So were you pleased with this posting?
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
I was disappointed because we never got made up to a sergeant. But that was... Yes, it was very, very good. You know, we were a small number of us, and so we were a small team. We were very sort of close-knit,
yeah.
And used to go everywhere together. We had our own transport in the London area, so what was
without
that?
A vehicle.
Vehicles, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So what sort of work were you doing? I mean, they were setting up this division.
Yes, mainly I was concerned with... he used to get invited to give lectures and speeches about Arnhem, and so I was always doing all the typing all of the details of what he was going to say.
Mm-hmm. So what did he say about it?
Because it wasn't. Well, he mainly used to give a talk on what happened at Arnhem, mm-hmm. And then he used to get a lot of invitations to attend functions, and I would sort of acknowledge, he'd say, can't go to this one, can't go to that one, so I would acknowledge them, say he would be coming or he would be coming, or all that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. What sort of attitude did he take to Arnhem? Because it was a pretty disastrous exercise, really.
Yes, it was for him, yeah. Mm. Because he got isolated from all the rest of the troops who were there, and so he couldn't really take command of it, not properly. No, yeah. It was a bit of a disaster, really, at the end of the day.
So it must have been. I mean, I might imagine it might be quite hurtful for him to have to keep going over all this.
I didn't get the impression that was so. No, I mean, I didn't go to the lectures. I mean, or the talks or wherever he gave.
But usually,
all sorts of other things that. Can't remember exactly what. Well, we would hold divisional exercises so that there would be a planned exercise of some sort, and where we would sort of meet in a large room with all the officers in half circles, and I would be with him and a couple of others on a top sort of table, and then they would go through an exercise, could last 2 or 3 days,
right.
And I would be taking down all the details of what everyone said in shorthand, and then probably go away for a couple of 3 days and type it all up. So is that sort of work, yeah.
Yeah. So where would these exercises be? Were they in the UK?
I think they. Oh yes, yeah, yes. It was only they weren't actually physical exercises; they were more theoretical. Right. They would. Yeah.
Yeah. So So what would they be discussing over a day or two when they were planning these? What were the issues?
Oh, I can't remember, to be quite honest. It would have been just military exercises, you know. But I can't exactly remember the details.
Right.
It's too long ago.
Yeah. Was General Urquhart married?
Yes.
In married quarters?
Yeah. No, he lived in Aldershot. So he travelled up with his chauffeur from Aldershot every day.
So did you go out and about with him at all?
No, not a great deal, no, yeah. No. It's mainly just the office every day.
Mm. Yeah. So, and you had a couple of lieutenant colonels you worked for as well?
Yeah.
Who were they?
Can't remember the names.
No.
No.
Long time ago.
Yeah, I can't remember their names. The general had an ADC who was in the... I think he was in the Argyll in Sutherland Highlanders. Mm. He was his aide, second lieutenant, I think he was. Been shot to pieces in his legs.
Really?
Mm.
What, did he limp or?
Yes, yeah. He always wore a kilt, and I can't remember his name either now. But we had... might come to me what they... There was Captain Rendell there. They were all officers who'd... been at Arnhem and other places. We had a Major Porteous who got the VC in Italy.
Oh, right. Mm. What was he like?
Very nice. Yeah. Very nice. Mm. Yeah.
What did he look like? I mean,
you know, just average height.
Yeah.
I suppose I'm kind of age-wise, I suppose he'd been in his 40s if I can remember him now.
Mm.
Yeah.
What had he done?
I think he'd attacked a German machine gun nest or something, single-handed type of thing, and he got the VC for that. And all the rest of them were decorated. They all had DSOs on. There was Captain Rendell. He had the MC. They'd all been on the bridge at Arnhem. I think Rendell was standing there with a revolver in his hand. Yeah. And we had the... what was his name? Oh, it was a Major O'Sullivan. And there was the doctor who was in charge of the medics at Arnhem. Short little fellow. He was delightful. Very nice.
Yeah.
I can't remember what his name was now.
So you were there with all these sort of war heroes, really. You know,
well, all the people, they'd all been through, yes, they were all baddies hatters.
Were they?
Yes. Yeah, great bunch. But, yes, they'd probably all been in Ireland and other sort of airborne operations. Mm. Mm. Mm.
When you say they're mad as hatters, they didn't pay too much lip service to army stuff.
Oh, well, I wouldn't say they were in military. Some of them, I remember Major O'Sullivan, he was always the others would joke and laugh with you, but he was always a bit severe, if I can remember him.
Mm.
But probably just his way, really. He was quite nice, you know. I didn't work for them at all, and they were all there, yeah.
Mm. Can you remember any particular days or incidents, you know?
There was two occasions when Field Marshal Montgomery came to the headquarters.
Mm.
So I met him on two occasions.
Did you? What?
Not on a personal basis,
yeah.
But we were there to sort of... he came to the... And we sort of formed a guard of honour for him, six of us or something like that. And then gave him... he didn't drink, of course, but it was soft drinks and sandwiches or whatever they were doing there. But I mean, I wasn't involved with what there, why he was there or discussions or anything, but he came there twice. And I think it was General Browning and General Castles, I think his name was, came there. He said they were friends with General Urquhart more. Mm, so they were there.
So you were in quite elevated company, weren't you?
Oh, yeah, yes, yeah. Mm. Yes, but they never treated us like... private soldiers. We weren't sort of not heavy military discipline. We were sort of regarded as sort of staff, you know. It was quite funny. I mean, lots of occasions I would be with General Urquhart and I'd probably be sitting opposite him, just sitting cross-legged taking some notes or something, and other people would come in and be standing rigid to attention. We were officers, much, and I was used to think that was quite funny. Yeah. So I'd be sitting there as a private and them standing up there. So those sort of things. And we always had our leg pulled by the Pops Wilson, who was senior warrant officer, but he was a they were regulars, of course, and he used to think we were all sort of conscripts, and, but he used to treat us like his children, really, so yeah, it was good fun. Mm.
So did you ever do any sort of socialising there, you know, did you?
Not militarily, no, we didn't get involved in that. We were pushed around after we were in Church Street. The army also had houses in Phillimore Gardens, that's another place in Notting Hill Gate, and we were just posted out to these places. And then I met a friend who I was, when I was in working at in the city, and he worked at a company, and Alan came back and was working at the company, and he was in lodgings, and he knew I was coming out of the forces and would be going back to the company, and there was an opportunity to go and live in the lodgings where he was. So he said to me, if you're interested, do you want to come, and or can you? And I could. So I then came out of these houses we were living in, and I actually went and lived in civil lodgings in London. So I just used to go to work every day on the tube like anybody else. I lived in Kensal Rise. So we went from Kensal Rise down to Sloane Square. Every day on the tube, just went to work and came home again. It was just like being in Civvy Street, really. Yeah.
You wore a uniform, though.
We wore a uniform, yes. Yeah. But that was how it was. It was in the 5-day week.
Sounds quite comfortable in a way. Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah.
We all had, we had our weekends free. I used to come, could hitchhike home on the weekends, go back on the train on Sundays. Mm.
So you'd come back to Cheltenham.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. If I wanted to, you know, yeah. Didn't come home every weekend, but we were always free to do that.
Sorry? What did you do for social life in London?
Oh, well, obviously we were all sort of a small crowd of us. I mean, when we finished work, we'd go back to where we were living. Mm-hmm. And we were always together, just the sort of number of us who were in the Airborne Division. Yeah. And so we do all sorts of things. I mean, we were quite close to Hyde Park. So we used to go swimming a lot in the Serpentine. That was in Kensington Gardens. That was in Hyde Park, because Serpentine. But we backed onto to Kensington Gardens, so we were all in that area there. We'd go for a drink then again, and don't know what we used to do, really. Go to places in London, obviously, you know, things were on. I suppose we could just walk about and do what we fancied. We used to go to dances, of course. You know, there was the Hammersmith Palais and the and in those days the Earl's Court was a big area where they had big dances. So we'd go to Earl's Court. Mm, yeah. Just wander around.
So how did the setting up of the 16th Division go? I mean, it's quite a...
I think it's still in existence.
Yeah.
As far as I'm aware, yeah.
So in the sense that General Urquhart was setting it up, what was he doing? I mean, what did they have... It was a TA division, is that right?
Yes,
So where were they actually based, as it were?
Well, the headquarters, obviously, the Duke of York's headquarters.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I don't... really can't remember where all the there must have been units, I suppose. But I have to sort of bear in mind that when I went there, it was at its very infancy, and by the time I'd left, I suppose it was still in its infancy, can I put it that way? So I don't really know, but I imagine that throughout the country there must be pockets of companies or whatever of it. Mm, yeah. They would be, wouldn't just be in London. That was where the headquarters was.
Mm. Mm. So
can't remember too much of that, quite honestly.
Yeah,
no, that's funny.
So I mean, they weren't doing sort of exercises or training.
No.
So it was all sort of paperwork.
Yes, really. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
I think there must have been different areas, because he used to get invited to these territorial army, they were called at homes, and they'd have these at home functions at these, I mean, I think there used to be a TA place in Cheltenham, not that they came here, but every town I think had its TA place. So he was used to get invited to a lot of these evening functions, that sort of thing.
Mm. All right, yeah. So all quite sort of well regulated sort of feel to the whole thing.
Oh yes, yes, yeah.
No surprises.
No. We used to get our pay and get our rations, so, you know, chocolates and cigarettes and that sort of thing. And we used to go round to the guards barracks, I think in Wellington. Was it Wellington Barracks? To get our things like that. And rail warrants to get travel and things like that. I used to take my leave with the general. And I remember one, I think it was the February, he decided to have a month off or something, took all his leave in one go. So I came home and took all my leave in one go. I think I was home for a whole of a month once.
When you went to the guards barracks, did you feel, you know, they looked down on you a bit?
No, they didn't know who we were. Mm. No, we just used to just go around there, perhaps once a month to pick up. You had some cigarette ration, mainly chocolate ration, things like that. You could go in. That was the only place we could change our coupons.
It was the
only place we could do it. So we used to go there. But no, we just go in a tilly, as we called them. That was sort of army wagons, and go around there and pick it up and come back out again.
So did you find that the skills you'd been taught at Cirencester were everything you needed for the job you had?
It was all I needed, yes, because I was simply a shorthand writer. And typist. Of course, what they taught me at Cirencester was to touch type, which I had not done before.
Yeah.
So I learned to actually touch type. Mm. Mm.
So that was a useful.
Oh yes, yeah, yeah,
yeah. So how long were you with General Urquhart?
Well, I suppose I was there all from the time I went up there. I think we must have gone up in the March of. Would that have been 47, wasn't it? Until I was demobbed.
Right.
Stayed there all that time.
Yeah. So happy days.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of the chap, we were all posted up there as, we didn't volunteer for the Airborne Division, we were posted into the Airborne Division. But being there and amongst it, gradually, the chaps wanted to go on and do the parachute, to jump in, their jumps. One of the reasons was you got an extra half a crown a day, 2 and 6 a day if you had your wings, as they call it. So gradually during the period, the guys were going off doing it. And General Urquhart had never done his jumps. He'd never been a parachutist.
How did he get into armour?
Oh, I suppose they were taken in by gliders, because of course not all airborne troops were paratroopers. They were, you could get posted into an airborne division, but you go in by gliders. I think he went on a parachute training course, and I'm not sure whether I went at the same time, but I went down there as well.
Right, where did you go for that?
To Aldershot, and we were with the parachute regiment down there.
So what was that like? Pretty tough.
Well, everybody went there, but I think when we went there, the intake for this course, which lasted 6 weeks, was about 2,000, and a lot of them came from Germany. But the only reason they came over from Germany was to get over it back to England, get some leave, get a weekend at home, then they go back, and they pack it in, and they got returned to units. So, and other guys didn't stand the course because it was like it was only the ground training, like commando training. And
so what did you actually do? Do you remember arriving at Aldershot for this?
Yeah.
Were you a bit apprehensive? Because
not really. We'd done all sorts of things. We were sort of volunteered for it, and it was, so we did the ground training.
What's that made up of?
Obstacle, all the usual things, running and obstacle. We had to run everywhere, we never walked anywhere. Yes, it was obviously rigorous training for it. But when we finished, I think there were only 200 of us left at the end of the 6 weeks.
Really?
Hmm.
Goodness, out of
1,000? 2,000, I think
2,000?
It was, yeah.
So why were people dropping out?
Well, a lot of them went back to Germany. They'd volunteer, I suppose they got onto the bandwagon. and others found that it was they couldn't stand the course, it was too exhaustive, failed it or something. So it was what was really what the ones that we left, there was about 200 of us. And on the Saturday morning, I think we were due to leave, we were all kitted up and lined up outside the company office in Aldershot. And I think there was about three or four of us had our names called out to go to the company office. And so we went to the company office when we were told that the next move, we were going to Upper Heyford to do the actual air, you know, the training for jumps and to do the jumps. And I think that would have taken about 2 weeks or something. And we got called into the company office, several of us, and were told that we were going to be returned to our units. We weren't going to be able to go to Heyford because we didn't have long enough left in the, to do in the army. I think we only had about 6 months or something to do, and the cost of the train, the jumps, was, I think it was about £200 in those days. And it wasn't worth this, spending this money on people like us who only had 6 months to do, which was annoying really, because we'd all done all this ground training, and the exciting part was going to do the jumps, and we never got to do it. Yeah. And so I got sent back to my London, and I never did the jumps. So that was that. We could have done them if we'd signed on in the army, I think for a minimum of 2 years or something, and none of us were prepared to sign on in the army, so we just gave it up.
Staying on.
Oh no.
Why not?
Oh no. Army life wasn't for me, you know. I mean, wasn't really interested in me having a military career. Now I don't think I'd have got any.
I don't think I'd have got anywhere. Really?
Oh yeah, I could have signed on. Yes, yeah, no problem with that. But
why don't you think you'd have got anywhere?
Oh, I don't think my heart would have been in it. Not really. I mean, you don't know really what would have happened. I mean, I had some regrets afterwards that I'd actually went to London. I mean, I enjoyed the time in London, and as it happened, a lot of my future life happened because I was posted to London. But a lot of my people that I was with at Cirencester and was friends with, they went to Germany and abroad. And at the time, I didn't want to go, but looking back on it, I wish I'd gone. So it was like that, but I wasn't interested in the military career, and I was more interested, but particularly as I'd always been involved with music, and I didn't want to I wanted to come back out and be involved in music again.
Okay, right. Bernard Cox, end of reel 2.